This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. Hey, guess what? It's time for another one of those special podcasts. I know we've been doing quite a few of these lately, but I think that's some pretty good timing because, you know, we're kind of in this lull consolidation period in price and the shares have been kind of going sideways. But I think if we all focus on the big picture, we all know there's some pretty great things ahead. So here we are again. I've got another CEO interview for you. My friend Dan Amadori introduced me a couple days ago to a guy by the name of Blair Naughty. Now, I think this is going to be of interest to a lot of you here because of where the company that Blair is the CEO, where they are located and what they are doing. The company is called Great Thunder Gold. And we'll get into some of the specifics here in a minute, but they're up there in Quebec, not far from where Wallbridge and Balmoral and a couple of other companies are drilling. You've heard names like the Fenelon property from Eric Sprott every Friday and the Tabasco zone, things like that. You're going to hear some of that stuff here today too. So Blair, I guess without delay, thank you for taking a few minutes to visit with me.
Oh, thanks, Greg. Nice to be on the show.
It's really a pleasure to get to know you too, Blair. I think obviously we're going to talk a lot about Great Thunder today and what you've got going on up there and the potential opportunity for people to get involved really at an early stage. But, you know, a lot of folks probably don't know you and they're curious to your background and your history. Tell her, just kind of introduce yourself to everybody.
Well, I guess I started at a young age in 1988, the age of 18, on a trading desk in the markets with this company called Midland Doherty. I was very interested in the junior mining markets. I would look at the blotters every day of all the different trades. Everything was spit out on paper back then. And I would see these price movements back and forth. And I got quite intrigued with the junior markets. So when there was an opportunity, I guess in about 1994, there was a small company called Sprott Securities in Toronto that had about 18 people at the time looking for somebody to come there and help out. So I jumped at the opportunity and had the pleasure of sitting next to Mr. Eric Sprott for 4.5 years. I always laughed. The funny thing was that the whole time I was there, Eric was not really a mining guy. He was making a lot of money doing other things. He was a value investor, earnings related, always way ahead of the curve, you know, 6 months to a year ahead of trends. So I learned a great deal from him there. I was sort of a mining guy back then. I used to have a little newsletter called Naughty Notes that I spread out through the office, 10 picks every year, you know, the things sort of like the old Kaiser bottom fishing report back then. And the funny thing was after I ended up leaving Sprott and going to Yorkton at the time to be a professional trader, I was still very interested in just the junior markets. And so it made sense for me to leave because Eric was not interested in that. And of course, you know, 2 years later, he's the king of it.
Right.
So it's kind of ironic. I was there a little bit before my time, but I mean, we have kept in contact over the years. And I ran into him 2 years ago in Miami. And when I ran into him in Miami, he was telling me about this great little company called Wallbridge Mining. Wallbridge was trading around 16 cents at the time, 1.6. And they were just, you know, starting to add new theories on the way that this Fenelon deposit that they had purchased from Balmoral Resources. They had new theories and ideas on it. And that, I believe at that time they had one or two, you know, pretty decent looking holes. So I came home from Miami and I was a large shareholder of Great Thunder Gold. And I mentioned to the company they should, you know, look in that area. They were able to secure the land directly to the north, attached to Wallbridge and the Jeremy Pluton. And later on to the south of all the Balmoral zone, turns out 3 kilometers away from this big Tabasco zone that Balmoral's been hitting on. So that's sort of my segue in. I ended up buying about 20% of the company, and Eric ended up financing it. We're very careful on cap structures, share tables, etc. There was no warrants, no options ever put out on this company. Once we got a large sum of money in the bank, or at 65 cents, we just raised another $3 million and another $1.5 million flow through, so a total of 4.5. I decided that I should go in and be the CEO of the company, which the current CEO, you know, gladly let me come in, being the largest shareholder and the steward of my capital and Eric's capital. And there we go from there. Once I became the CEO, I had actually bought some land to the east of this discovery, of the Great Thunder land that they had picked up. I had staked it myself personally, and I donated to the company for $1. It didn't make sense to be in competition with my own company. So that expanded the land package as well up there near the Jeremy Pluton. So I guess that's the brief rundown in history.
And safe to say, you and Eric are still, I mean, you're the two largest shareholders in this entire company, right?
Correct. Yeah, we have about four other holders that hold somewhere around the 8 to 9%. So we have a fairly tightly held structure with believers in this area and project. There are multiple projects that we have in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an exciting time. We're finally, we got all our geophysics interpreted and the airborne's that we did. And we are just put out news about 20 minutes ago, actually, that our targets are identified. We are applying for the drill permits, and we will be drilling sometime in the next likely 6 weeks once there's a freeze up, because it's pretty swampy land around there.
So right. Right.
Your access is far easier when it's frozen. So
that's, you know, it's funny. I just mentioned that Eric and I were talking about that just a couple of weeks ago, because one of the questions in the weekly wrap up was, you know, these northern companies, man, they can only really operate a couple months out of the year, and then it gets cold and freezes over. And Eric's like, that's exactly what you wanted to do. We needed to freeze over.
Yeah.
So you've got, okay, so we're getting close to doing some additional drilling. What I find fascinating, though, is, again, I think if regular people on the site that are regular listeners to that weekly wrap-up that I've been doing with Eric now for whatever, it's been 4 or 5 years, we know Wallbridge is quite a story. I'm a big shareholder of Wallbridge, and I know a lot of folks on the site are. And it's a great jurisdiction, obviously, in Quebec. So, you know, that's always a big, you know, big piece of the puzzle. But now I look at where your properties are, and I've got a map that I took off your website, and we'll put the link to the website on this page too, so that people can check it out themselves, because that's clearly what you need to do. But you almost kind of bracket their properties up there. You know, is it kind of safe to say, I mean, you're kind of figuring that it's a rich area, that it wouldn't just be confined just to what's already been drilled and explored up there?
Well, I mean, the old saying goes, the best place to find a mine is next to another mine. So, you know, it's a district play. I mean, if you look on the one side, you got the Detour Gold Mine, and on the Ontario side, and the trend runs right through across to the Fenelon deposit and potentially even further east. When Wallbridge started drilling to the north, they kept hitting numbers and said that they thought that the source of the gold would be from the Jeremy Pluton to the northwest, and it seemed like it was trending northwest, and that's exactly where we were. So we were quite excited to read those news releases. Even more excited when the day that they were taking over Balmoral, Balmoral announced a big hit in the Tabasco zone. It was a large intercept of high grade, and that was, you know, 3 kilometers from where our current, you know, drill program is looking to set up over the course of the winter.
So 3 kilometers,
which is just around the corner in the mining world.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a good par five almost. Yeah.
So it's an exciting time. We spent quite a bit of time, you know, interpreting all the data. That it's a very difficult area. That's probably why Balmoral had some issues tracking this deposit and gave it up to Wallbridge fairly cheaply. And it turns out Wallbridge ended up buying Balmoral, you know, David swallowing Goliath. Because there's about 50 meters of overburden generally here. So, I mean, you're not getting anything on chip samples, rock samples, et cetera. It's complex geology. So we had to run an airborne on there in advanced geophysics and modeling to come up with some targets, which we've done now. So I'm just counting down the days till we get the drill on the ground. So
right. And in terms of you've got the cash to do this, I think you mentioned that earlier. It sounds like your financial structure is looking pretty good.
Yeah, we got over $2 million hard in the bank, hard capital, meaning capital for G&A, et cetera. And another $1.4 million of flow through. So that is money to be spent in the ground. There's no saying that we can't spend any of the hard capital in the ground. So if we're drilling and we're getting great feedback and we want to expand the drill program and keep on going, we can do so with the capital in the banks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about other projects that you have in the portfolio? Are there some other stuff that people should know about?
Well, we do have some lithium assets that came with the company. They, as far as lithium assets go, they're fairly attractive. They're spodumene deposits, though, and they have some tonnage and some drill holes. We haven't really done much analysis on that. We've potentially down the line maybe look to sell those off joint venture or spin them out as a dividend to the shareholders into a separate company. I'm hearing rumors that people actually care about lithium again. So as far as lithium goes, these were great projects when everybody cared about lithium and they were right. What Thunder was built on in its previous life. So,
right.
And I'm also, you know, I mean, I don't think a day goes by that I'm not reviewing other projects that could add value to the company. I'm in talks daily, there's different countries, the metals we're focusing on are silver and gold. But I'm always reviewing other properties and opportunities for the company to, de-risk these exploration assets and add more value to the company. Some of them more advanced than others. And we're in talks all the time with people on that type of stuff. And that's my job.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine after, as long as you've been doing this, you've got to be excited about the sector as a whole, Blair.
I always say these things have 6 to 8 year cycles. I think the last one was a solid 8 with a little interruption for the crisis. And I think we've been in this cycle, this bull market, for about 2.5 years, maybe 3. I mean, the first year you don't really know you're in it, but things are starting to percolate a little bit. The second year, people are willing to listen to mining stuff, so you're kind of getting a little bit better. And then third year, I mean, we had a little bit of froth over this summer, which was wonderful. I think we got a lot of years left in it from what's going on in the United States and the world as far as printing currencies. This COVID thing is just going to devalue more currencies, cause more hyperinflation, and that's going to be great for commodities prices. And we haven't really had a lot of American money in.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard one statistic that if 1% of the U.S. portfolios moved into gold mining stocks, the TSX would double or triple. So
yeah,
I think we're at the early stages. I just got Great Thunder, the U.S. OTCQB listing, the symbol GTGFF.
Yep.
We just are working on our DTC clearing right now, which should be coming along because I think Well, Canadians are wonderful, and we have 30 million of us. There's 300 million of you guys, and when gold fever hits, there's nothing like it. I mean, forget about the marijuana boom of the past. There's nothing that beats a good gold market.
Yeah, well, and Blair, in your experience, I mean, I'm curious to see. I mean, do you recall, or when was the last time that we saw the big banks coming out with high price targets for the metals? I mean, I can't even remember the last time. I was reading today by Bank of America or Citigroup talking about $40 silver. And I was like, they weren't talking about that back in 10 and 11. I can't even remember the last time we saw something like that.
Yeah, I saw an article last week, Goldman Sachs recommending silver.
Yes, what? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time, I guess. You know, the drums, you know, it's a light drum beat now. And I think right now we're getting a little fatigue left over. I mean, we had a very frothy April, May, June. Every company that set out the finance usually, you know, went 50 to 100% over what they're originally asking. A lot of them, not knowing that we're entering a great market, were giving out full warrants. And, you know, now it's paying the piper time, I guess. Right now we're the hold period's off on all those financings. Everything's sort of flattening out, and the new buyers are not flowing in right now, I believe, because of the election coming up. So we're a little bit of a lull in the market. You know, once we chew through the rest of this and we get some clarity on the United States direction, I think we're back on full steam in this gold bull market. So.
Yeah. And I guess as I look at it, Blair, I see, and again, having been a fan of Wallbridge and have followed along with that story for the last couple of years, and I see where these properties are, and I look at Wallbridge, and I've got a market, a U.S. market cap on them, somewhere between $550 and $600 million. Mm-hmm. And yet your market cap is like 17 or 18 million. Is that right?
Well, I got 34 million shares out, I guess, at 50 cents US. Yeah. It's somewhere around 16, 17. So.
You sure would. Sure. I sure find this interesting. Just given Wallbridge's, like you said, what'd you say, David, capturing Goliath or however Well, if price continues in the trend that we expect with everything else going on, hard to imagine those properties that you have up there not getting less valuable, at least, you know, certainly see them getting more valuable.
Well, I mean, we saw like there's consolidation going on in the area. We were in a couple, we were trying to actually, joint venture with Midland at one point. They had a large chunk of land there. Wallbridge has a lot more capital than us. They came in there and scooped that away from us. I was looking to expand with Probe. They went and did that. So we were looking to add more. This area is getting consolidated. And what would make sense to me, and I'm not saying this is going to happen by any means, but, you know, Kirkland Lake is awash with a ton of cash. Mm-hmm. They own the Detour deposit to the west. It would make sense if they would buy the Wallbridge Fenlon deposit if it keeps going the way it's going. And then you got the Detour on one side, the Fenlon on the other side, and that whole trend in between that they bought out. So,
right.
Which would leave us, you know, right snugged up to the north and south. And, you know, these structures, you know, don't just sit in one spot. They move north, south, east, west. And the trends are, we're right on some particularly attractive trends that, who knows? I mean, if we get any kind of sniff on any of this stuff, I mean, there's a lot of interest and a lot of eyeballs in this trend. So
absolutely, no doubt about it. Now, like you said, you trade in Canada, GTG for Great Thunder Gold.
Good to go. Yeah.
And here in the U.S., we're going to stick a couple F's on the back of that, GTGFF, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right, so I've got greatthundergold.com. We'll put that website here on this page, and I've got some other stuff that I have found. A most recent press release that I saw, I guess that was just today, right?
About just before we got on the phone, yeah.
And what walk everybody through that. What was that one?
Oh, it was just basically stating that we've interpreted our geophysical data, defined drill targets. We believe that the Southern Star did have some drilling on the northern section in the past, not extensive drilling. And from our 3D modeling, we believe that they missed the main zone that they were trying to hit. So we will be trying to go right through it.
And the drilling that you're thinking about, the schedule you're on, you got to get the ground firmed up a little bit, and then.
I mean, being a boy that's from Ontario and spent a lot of time in Northern Ontario and Quebec, I think we start to freeze up by mid-November if it's a normal year. So we'd be planning to drill sometime around mid-November to mid-December, depending on the drill contractor's availability.
Could set us up for a rather interesting 2021. I bet you're excited.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping I get a great Christmas present this year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll have to, now that we know that Eric's involved too, I'll have to ask him about it coming up this week. Cause I'm sure he's got to be, I mean, obviously as excited as he is about those, that whole zone and the camp up there, I can't imagine he's not pretty excited about your company too.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, the best place to find a mine is next to one.
That's right.
There's been so many new theories on this deposit. I mean, obviously Balmoral, you know, didn't have a full understanding of it, and this complex geology and a lot of overburden. So, you know, we're crossing our fingers and I think we have a shot here.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Blair, I got to tell you, thrilled to get to know you. Really excited to take a deeper look at Great Thunder. Cause man, like I said, I already own Wallbridge and, this certainly makes sense to me. So I'll do my due diligence. I suggest everybody listening to us do their own due diligence and then see if this isn't something that might have a fit in your speculative portfolio. Blair Naughty, again, CEO of Great Thunder Gold. Blair, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
And it's always fun to do these. We'll have another one soon. And I want to thank everyone for listening. Have a great rest of your day.